Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying the listening audience that the opinions expressed on any public affairs show do not reflect those of KX93.5, its management, or the board of directors.
Good morning, Laguna Beach, Orange County, and to all our friends joining us today. Coming to you from the heart of the village in beautiful Laguna Beach, California, you're listening to Laguna Roundtable with smart talk and bold perspectives. Brought to you by your Laguna Roundtable co-hosts, Jim Kennedy and Dr. Ari Grayson on KX93.5.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, folks. Okay, it's not quite Christmas, but you know what it is? It is five shopping days until Christmas. Sunday, December 20th, 2015, the day after the Democratic debate, and about 5 days after the Republican debate this week. So we were full of politicians angry at each other, trying to get your last minute votes in between wrapping, shopping, and well, it's too late to probably have bought anything from Amazon at this point. I guess if you get 2 days shipping, you might be able to get something. But you're probably out of the malls. I understood from one person that I heard from that real men do not start shopping for Christmas until the last Saturday before Christmas. Now, when Christmas is on Sunday, I'm not sure how that exactly works. But personally, I started mine about a month ago. And as my friend calls it, the Brown Santa has delivered most of the presents that I will be giving out this Christmas. And with us, of course, as always, is Dr. Ari. Good morning, Dr. Ari.
Good morning. Welcome to a beautiful sunny day here in Laguna Beach.
Beautiful sunny day, maybe a little bit on the chilly side. Everything's bright and clear after the rains came through.
We got some great rain last night. It's a nice, beautiful, clear day. You can see way out to Catalina Island and all the way up north. In fact, actually, yesterday I was driving into Irvine and I was crossing over the ridge at Newport Coast. And you can see, I'm assuming that's Los Angeles. You can see the buildings of downtown L.A.
I think if you're at the right angle. Oh, yeah, if you're coming like the 73.
Oh, no, this was on the crest of Newport Coast Road.
Oh, going up. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never really looked from there. You probably can.
Yeah, just beautiful. In any case, beautiful weather. Come to Southern California. I know it's been warm in the Northeast. We've got some friends coming in from Chicago today, so we're going to certainly see what's
been happening. Are they upset about having to come to colder climates this time?
You know, it's actually been nice and warm in Chicago in the Midwest, but I know that there was a big storm coming through.
Yeah, but then it's just warm back up. They were talking about possibly 70 degrees for Christmas in Washington, D.C.
Not bad. I think even some of the cherry blossoms were on trees. The trees are confused.
Actually, I heard about that. There's a winter or fall set of cherry blossoms that have basically now been activated. But come spring, the spring cherry blossom trees will still be blooming. So it's not like they're going to be prematurely blooming. And come March and April, there'll be nothing. So I heard someone specifically talk about that.
There are two different types of cherry blossoms.
Evidently, that's what this guy explained on the radio the other day.
Okay.
So,
well, if it's on the radio, it's almost as true as it is on the internet.
Well, because we're on the radio, and it's almost on the internet. Thank you. But it is true on the radio because it is Laguna Roundtable, KX93.5, with our Christmas edition of the show. We have plenty of politics, and we'll have a little bit of gift giving at the end of the show for some selected people that we've chosen that specially need gifts given to them this year. Maybe it's a sense of humor. Maybe it's a lightsaber in the right spot. Who knows?
Have you been to see the news?
No, I'm so no spoilers. Have you gone yet?
Not yet. Haven't been.
I'm not a
yet.
Big fan of crowds, so I'll probably go in about a week or so after the crowds thin out. But it's gotten great ratings from everybody. I think it was like 93 or 95 on Rotten Tomatoes between the critics and the audience award or audience ratings. So, but yeah, in fact, our station manager, Tyler, has even posted a little thing where he signed off social media for 4 days. Until he was able to see the movie, which I guess will probably be Monday then, because it came out on Friday. 4 days would be Monday. So I would think there'd be better reasons to send it on social media, like friends, family, you know, going to an area with no Wi-Fi. But no, it was for Star Wars. I saw some other people that had done that too. So, I mean, I want to see it, but I don't want to see it opening night. There was somebody, one of the people on CNN reported something about about most people want to go to Star Wars in costume. And I'm going, well, I'm sure there's probably some people that want to go to costume, but I don't think most people in America are dressing up like Jar Jar Binks or Princess Leia in the gold bikini to go see Star Wars. So, I mean, what about yourself? Are you dressing up as a Jedi? Or
No, but are you dressing up as Princess Leia?
No, I'm not, but thank you for asking.
Yeah. Gosh, that's an.
When I say that, when I'm going like, this is going to come back to bite me. I just know it.
On Howard Stern on the show here.
Thank you very much. No, there was a radio program I was listening to on Friday where one of the they evidently the guy was I don't know how much of this was played for comedy because knowing the show it probably was. Or knowing the show that I'm talking about, it probably was. But he evidently had gotten a Boba Fett costume. But when the people in the studio saw the order, they changed it to a Princess Leia costume.
Oh, good.
So they made him wear a Princess Leia costume on the show. I don't know what he got for doing it. Hopefully a lot, like free tickets to Star Wars.
Good to know who your friends are.
Exactly, yes. Yes, but we will be talking about the GOP debate, the Democratic debate. Both are actually held in very cold rooms, from what I understand, at least for the press filing. We will also be, like I said, discussing some presents from Santa Claus and maybe other few stray things as we wrap up what will be our last show for 2015. But don't worry, we'll have an interview that's been taped that we'll be playing for next week. And then on the first weekend of January, we will replay our first show from 2015 to let you know what we talked about and all of our predictions. And then we come back the week after that, we'll have to live down all the predictions that we made and find out how exactly accurate we are yet.
Exactly.
So, and we'll be making our predictions for 2016 on that show because we will be going into an election year. And also in January, we will have Steve Dictero, or I should say, excuse me, Mr. Mayor Steve Dictero on the program, who will be running for re-election for his seat. And we're trying to get some of the other people. And anybody out there from a campaign who wants to come on the show, LagunaRoundtable@gmail.com, LagunaRT on Facebook, and you can reach out to me, Rady Jim, on Twitter. And we'd love to have your candidate on the program because that's what we're planning to do this year. We're going to hopefully have some of the senatorial candidates on the program. Oh, by the way, did you see Loretta Sanchez from your side of the aisles? Comments about that 20% or that the 20% of Muslims that she know want to be radicalized.
I did hear that. Sometimes you have to really worry about Loretta.
She's trying to get the 2% of the Republicans in California to vote for her.
It might well be, but she's not going to be as successful as she may wish in the Democratic elections. If that's the kind of
She's not going to be successful anyway. It's going to be Kamala Harris's to win.
More likely than not, you know, I've had an opportunity to hear Kamala Harris speak, and she's very bright, very articulate, really on top of the issues. I think she's been a good attorney general, and we'll see how things play out on the Democratic side for her getting the nomination.
So she's not bat. So she's not bat guano crazy.
No, she's actually a very sharp person.
And, even though she helped frame the Sanctuary City stuff in San Francisco and is a ardent gun grabber who blames a gun for everything.
Yes. This is California. We like to make sure that we're safe here from random violence and rampant gun distribution.
But if you're an Islamic terrorist, you're allowed to shoot up anything you want.
That was interesting because a bill came before the members of Congress about a week or so ago, and they had an opportunity to pass a bill that would have limited the access to terrorists to guns. It would have taken people who are on the no-fly list and would have made it more difficult for them to obtain a gun during their background checks. And, you know, I think there were four Republicans who voted for the bill, but it was defeated.
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, I'm not sure why we would do that. But let's talk about the no-fly list in a second, because that's coming up. We talk about the Democratic debate, actually, and the Republican debate, too. So let's kick off with the Republican debate. The Republicans and all 15 of the candidates, four at the kiddie table, 11 at the adult table or the adult stage, held a debate in Las Vegas last Tuesday night. It was a tad bit chilly from what I saw. Everybody up there was all of the talking heads were sitting outside the Venetian, and they were fairly well bundled up. Also understand the security was pretty tight. I heard they were doing car searches, checking trunks while they were going in. I don't know of any specific threat. Now when I was up there in October for the Democratic debate, security was not that anywhere near that stringent. They did have Secret Service and the TSA screening people as you went into the press area, which was not anywhere near the debate hall, though candidates could come into the spin room after where you could have interacted with Hillary. Hillary is a Secret Service protectee because she is a former first lady and will be for the rest of her life. I don't think Bernie or any of your candidates have been given Secret Service protection yet, have they?
Not that I'm aware
of. All I know of on the Republican side is Trump and Carson. And someone commented from Trump's team, like, I guess when they met with them, that was kind of like, seriously, I mean, we're better than you guys are. What are you doing here? So I don't know if Trump really took Secret Service protection or not. I know Carson has it, and that's about it. But that's because Carson was leading at the point when it was offered to him. So right. And they generally do the top couple of candidates. Generally, once there's an actual nominee, if he didn't happen to be a front runner or have it previously, then they will get, on both sides, they will get it, even if it's not Hillary, if it happens to be
right.
Bernie on your side.
And I think Donald Trump does have Secret Service protection. I know that it was at least offered to him.
Right, it's been offered, but he has his own personal security, which he's had for years.
And that's surprising.
I'm sure they're probably a little bit more extensive and a little bit more thorough than the TSA. I'm sure they know how to screen a visa application for fake cities in Pakistan. So,
no doubt. I would like to think so.
But then I'd
like to think that our own security agencies would have the same ability to do that. So.
Well, we would like to see that. But so what, Arby, what was your take from the other side of the aisle on the GOP debate this week? What stood out to you?
You know, I think the GOP debate is always interesting, but it becomes even more stark in contrast when we see a Democratic debate. Because,
well, I would agree, but probably for different reasons.
Well, you know, it seems at some point so juvenile. In a sense, when you see Trump making faces.
Oh, but come on. That's comedy gold. That is comedy gold.
It is. Yes. There's no question about that.
But come on. He owns Jeb Bush, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. You want to talk about being somebody's.
No, you can't say that on
okay,
here.
Okay.
It rhymes with Hillary or witch, right?
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't go so far. But yeah, definitely. I mean. He definitely owns him. I mean,
by the way, if we're playing rap music, that'd be perfectly acceptable. But otherwise, no.
You know.
He owns. In fact, I was telling a friend of mine, I go, I was wondering if they're going to take a time out to call for a stretcher for Jeb. Because one of those, he just put the 10 count on Bush. He's out of there.
But, you know, and I understand that it does make for good media.
Oh, it is good. It's great television.
But there's no question about that. That probably got more airtime than any single comment that came out of the entire debate. But it feels like schoolyard taunting. It doesn't feel like it has the kind of gravitas that we expect from candidates.
But he's not calling. It doesn't say that Bush's mother wears army boots.
No, but you know what?
But he's factually correct. And it's like, you know, 42-3, Jeb. Come on, pretty soon you're going to be off the stage. And there's nothing factually inaccurate in any of that.
No, not at all. But here's the thing. I was waiting for somebody to say, you know, it does remind me of the old joke, right? These two kids about 7 or 8 years old are wrestling on the schoolyard playground. One of them turns to the other one. He says, "My father can beat up your father." The other one says, "Big deal. So can my mother." You know, I
felt like I needed to do a rim shot with that.
You know, But that's the kind of conduct that we're seeing out of the Republican debate.
Okay, well, you want to focus on that, but was there not substantial discussions on national security, on how to deal with ISIS, on Cruz versus Rubio's difference on various support for immigration issues, national security issues? I think Ted Cruz and Rubio was a very informative discussion.
I think that was. Of the candidates, I think Cruz and Rubio, yes, held up their end of the deal better than anybody else. You know, it just seems at times that there's so much over-the-top rhetoric, and I think it's very scary. You know, there's a lot of certainty on how we have to deal with ISIS. I think part of the challenge that we face as a society is how do we handle threats to our nation, to make sure that we are safe, and at the same time make sure that we don't give up the essence of who and what we are as an American society. You know, I think we compromised a lot of our national integrity during the Gulf War, where we were facing Saddam Hussein under the Bush administration, the Iraq War, and we engaged in waterboarding. I mean, that's not something we should be doing as Americans. We should recognize that just because ISIS is doing something abhorrent does not give us the liberty to do things which are also abhorrent.
Well, okay. Well, let's go back to something we were talking about before we started about a comment that somebody had made that in some way, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's funny, but it's to me, it's humorous.
Ironic.
But ironic may be a better word for it. That if you really want to solve the problem, is you bury the ISIS fighters in pigskins. to be a complete, absolutely, you know, insult to their religion and what they do. And, would that stop the ISIS fighters? Someone has said that would pretty much stop them pretty quickly. If we basically start sending out leaflets saying, if you're caught and killed by an American or the American coalition or whatever it is, the Saudi coalition, we will basically wrap you in pigskin and bury you that way, because that would be such an affront to them. Is that something which you would say not an American way, but certainly an effective way to possibly resolve this problem?
I'd have to talk to some friends about that, but you know, I wouldn't want to do anything which is a greater insult to the broader Muslim population that does not support these kinds of maniacs. But I think that's an interesting question, because I understand how repulsive the idea
right.
is in Islam, the affront to the very tenets of the faith to
yes.
be treated in such a manner. I don't think we need to certainly accord them the respect that we would normally extend to a Muslim in our community. We certainly don't need to extend to them those kinds of respects. But we see, you know, even in Guantanamo, we see people who are allowed to pray. They're allowed to follow their religious tenets.
Yes. Pray to Mecca, have a Quran, eat halal meals.
Well, so we try to treat them with the kind of humanity and respect that we
Yeah, and look what it's gotten. It's ISIS.
That's part of the challenge. But I would like to speak to some friends in the Muslim community see what their take would
be. Let's get back to the GOP debate. Like I said, good exchange with Rubio and Cruz. The Trump and Jeb stuff with humorous. Carly Fiorina got some good points in.
She did.
But what happened with Carly? She does well in the debates or great in the debates, and then she disappears. And then all of a sudden she's back doing good in the next debate. And it's like she's like this, and then it like trails down. Then she jumps back up in the next debate, and then she trails down. And it's like, she just disappears when she's not on the debate stage. I just don't quite get what's going on with her campaign.
Does she not have enough campaign staffers? Is she not getting the airtime? I mean, this morning
Trump sucks all the oxygen out of the room. I mean, Fox News is the all-Trump channel.
That may ultimately be the damage that Trump is inflicting on his own party.
Correct.
That, you know, somebody like Carly Fiorina, who does seem to gain some traction when she's on stage and people can hear her and see and listen to her ideas. Afterwards, everything becomes all Trump centric.
Yeah, and what did you think of Chris Christie's performance?
Christie always sounds tough, but I don't think there's any way that he's going to win the nomination. I think he's just got way too much baggage.
Yeah, well, that the hug.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it's the hug.
Republicans, it's the hug.
Well, that could well be. You know, the stench of actually going to a president and being respectful towards the president after a major disaster in your state and when your citizens need help, heaven forbid you actually take that from, you know, the president that is so loathed within the Republican Party. Somehow that rubs off
on
you.
I think
that's so unfair to Trump.
Dr. Ari?
I mean, to Christie.
I give you, you know, I'm actually amazed by that statement. How you can spin that much and not be dizzy and still be sitting there fine. How you can make that much spin on that statement.
I am getting a little queasy here.
Yeah,
so
well,
maybe
I am too, but possibly for other reasons.
No, I mean, they had a major disaster. They had Hurricane Sandy wipe out much of the
coast. He could have said thank you. He could have sent him a note. He could have done something that wasn't publicly acknowledged a week before the debate that made it look like he was almost endorsing Obama. And there's lots of people. Now, I did an analysis, and it's up on the Laguna Roundtable blog page, that basically if you flip less than 500,000 votes in various states, and that's total. That's not one state. It's a total of about 500,000 votes that Mitt Romney is president. If you flip him in New Hampshire, Colorado, I think Virginia, North Carolina, you basically make Mitt Romney president 270 to 268
right.
by flipping 500,000 votes. So it mattered. Okay, maybe not in New Jersey, but it mattered in a lot of other states that, you know, a small number of people flipping out of 110 million greater or less than electorate.
Right.
Flipping 500,000 votes, you're talking less than 0.5% of the votes flipped. Makes Mitt Romney president if you do in the right states. So while the Electoral College wasn't close and the popular vote was a little closer, you know, if you do the analysis, it really was important. And that's why everybody's vote counts. So
and that comes to something like a vote per precinct across the country.
Sure, I mean, probably something like that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Tiny, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Probably accurate. So, but yeah, okay. So now everybody's off for a couple of weeks. Once we start back, we're going to be basically into 2016,
right.
And it's going to be running full bore because we'll be less than 30 days away from the Iowa caucuses. And on your side of the street, or your side of the fence, by the way, Laguna Roundtable, KX93.5, with your host, Righty Jim and Dr. Ari. The Democrats had a debate on the most inopportune time possible to make sure that Hillary would get the least amount of exposure. I guess they could have done it in a darkened closet with sign language to possibly make it a little bit more abstract. But on the Saturday night, where probably the most popular night for Christmas parties or holiday parties of the year, they decided to have a debate up against also the New York Jets versus the Dallas Cowboys football game.
Okay.
So I guess everything other than – oh, and the weekend of Star Wars opening too. Also, I should say not two, but Star Wars 7.
I'm not sure that the Democratic Party intentionally planned around
positive they did. Yeah. Well, do you know when the next debate is?
Super Bowl Sunday?
No, but it's the AFC Championship game. That,
oh, is it? Okay.
Yes, it's on a Sunday night of the NFL championships.
And I was listening to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she was saying that, you know, the schedule is dictated by the media outlets. It's not dictated by the party.
Well, I don't know who's hosting the next debate, but I don't think they said, hey, let's hold a debate at the same time the NFL hosts one of its conference championship games to determine who goes to the Super Bowl. Because that's going to be a ratings gold for us.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get what? The angry single 60-year-old female vote?
That would be it. So
seriously, who's going to, you know?
Basically, Hillary supporters, and
right.
They'll tune in, hopefully. But hopefully there will be a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters as well, and perhaps both of O'Malley's supporters will be there to listen to watch.
Well, what's your over-under that O'Malley will still be in the race by then?
Oh, gosh. I think he'll be there through New Hampshire. I think most of these guys will stay.
There's only three. There's
I don't mean
most.
Just on the Democratic side.
Right,
on the Republican side as well. I think most of these guys will stay in the race through New Hampshire, because Iowa is just a caucus, and that's a very different process.
It's a very peculiar item that's in and of itself, the way that it's run. It requires a huge ground game. It requires lots of organization. If you sign up the right people, which I'm sure Hillary has done, it's probably going to be pretty well skewed to Hillary. And, of course, on the Republican side, it would be a lot different. But Democratic debate last night, probably the most interesting thing or the most memorable thing was, shall we say, Depensgate, was Hillary coming back late from wherever it was.
Okay.
And basically walked on stage in the middle of the question to Bernie Sanders.
Right.
So there's lots of people. There were a lot of people saying it was just Hillary trying to steal the spotlight. Then there's also people, and I believe that you had mentioned earlier that you were disappointed that he actually came back without Hillary being on the stage. I don't know if they expected somebody to just sit there and kibitz for a minute while they were waiting for Hillary to show up or what?
You know, they had commentary coming back from the commercial break at each of the intermissions.
Right.
They could have extended that for another minute or two. I thought it would have been funny had Hillary come out and said, you know how long these lines are in the women's bathrooms? There's never enough stalls. And she would, half the audience, all the women would have cracked up.
Well, they still
knowing
have to,
that, you know.
Yeah, half the audience cheered her anyway, just walking back late. I mean,
well,
seriously.
They would have been hysterical with that, because if you've ever been to an event with a female companion, or you're a female yourself, you know that there is never enough opportunity or places for women to use restrooms. And, there's always a line. If you're a guy, you're always looking at your watch, wondering whether you're going to make it back after intermission. So I thought that would have been funny, but you know, perhaps she didn't want to say such things.
So outside of that, what was
We all know Hillary is so well known for her discretion.
And her timeliness, yes,
yeah,
of course. Yes. But she does want her stage time. She is a
politician. But, you know, I think...
Well, politician was the word I was going to use, but yes.
I think more important to the American people is that when Hillary is on stage, you feel as though you have somebody, whether you agree with her policies or not, you have somebody who has good command of the issue as former Secretary of State, as a U.S. Senator for one term from New York, as a former First Lady. She's been involved. She's so engaged. She knows the players. She knows the issues.
And would you say she's accomplished?
I think in many ways she is.
So can you name three accomplishments? She's.
Oh, you always like to try and catch me on that. You always, you know.
I walked you down the path. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I walk into it time and time again.
Oh, there's the end of the pier. I'm so sorry.
You know, that's one of the challenging things
about it is. Being. She has no accomplishments.
That's one of the things about being a diplomat is you don't always have these great signature moments that you can hold up on the mantle, but it's about
unlike being a senator for 8 years.
Well, you know, it's about being it's about building relationships with other nations and having them get to know you, get to know your policies, get to know the position of your government, and building those personal connections and that trust with one another.
I'm not hearing any accomplishments now, here.
She did
the reset with Russia.
Well, you know, speaking of Russia,
she got rid of Gaddafi and got Benghazi. Oh, wait a minute, that's not an accomplishment. She killed four Americans. Oh, she had the only ambassador die in office for four. Oh, no, that's not one.
We have to keep in mind when we're talking about Libya that this was in the middle of the Arab Spring. There was so much grassroots support for overthrowing governments that were corrupt in Egypt, in Morocco or Algeria?
I believe it started in Tunisia.
Okay.
There was a merchant who let himself on fire, and that was kind of the start of it.
And Libya as well.
That was the spark, shall we say.
Well, but in Libya as well, I mean, we knew Gaddafi was responsible for the plane that was shot down over Lockerbie, Scotland in
but he had basically given up his WMDs and had kind of been feeding us some information because he'd gotten the bejeebus scared out of him by Bush.
But we were not the people who had initiated the revolt, the uprising against him in Libya.
But, okay, so enough about that. Let's get back to the debate. We don't want to go off topic because you can't name any Hillary accomplishments. That's fine. No problem. Nobody seems to can either. This is a person who does this.
But keep in mind that Hillary also did not support arming insurgents against the Bashar al-Assad regime in Syria.
Okay, not doing something isn't really an accomplishment.
Well, it is because there was a lot of call from people like John McCain, a very prominent leader.
She hasn't cut her hand off
with
a lightsaber either, but that's not really an accomplishment.
But when so many people were calling to support rebels who we had no idea who they were and what their ultimate goals would be, she was very careful about that and made sure we did not get dragged into a battle where we wound up arming people, as was done in the early 80s in Afghanistan, where we armed people such as Osama bin Laden, who wound up as al-Qaeda. So, you know, sometimes...
Yeah, that's kind of a tortured route to that, but okay.
Sometimes what you don't do in diplomacy is just important as the things that... Okay. The actions that you actively pursue.
KX935, Laguna Roundtable. By the way, KX935.com is the website for the station. You can find out all of the programs and information there. Back to the discussion on the Democratic debate.
Okay.
Now, have you ever seen Larry David and Bernie Sanders in the same room?
No, and I'm beginning to be suspicious about that. It might be like Superman and Clark Kent. Are they really the same person?
Well, you know what they could do? Saturday Night Live should do a skit where they do a Seinfeld reunion, and they have Bernie Sanders, because all of the candidates have come on and gotten a little – Hillary got some time, Trump got an episode, where they let Bernie Sanders come on, and he be Larry David for a Seinfeld reunion.
Or they could
Would that be ratings gold for Saturday Night Live or
I
what?
I think that would be spectacular. They could do something similar with Tina Fey and Sarah Palin. They could have Larry and Bernie on the same stage, and we can see who's the most Bernie of them all.
I think Larry David's more Bernie than Bernie is.
Well, you know, he may well be.
The funny thing is now is every time I see Bernie, I think Larry David, because he just did it so well.
I do, too. It's really funny.
Larry David, I'm not sure about that. I mean, wow, that's just awesome. That was just awesome. But, okay.
Larry David was terrific. And I thought the best part of all of that was when Bernie Sanders actually responded and was talking about, I actually do own more than one pair of underwear.
Well, thanks. That's really, I'm not sure if that's really what Bernie wants to be on the record for, but I wonder if he took those more than one pair when he went to Moscow for his honeymoon, or was it Havana he went to his honeymoon on?
If Michael Dukakis can be forever known wearing that goofy hat and looking like
it's a helmet, you know, and a tank.
Rocky the Squirrel?
Rocky the Squirrel in the tank?
In the tank, then Bernie Sanders can certainly be known for
God bless
the parody by Larry David. Absolutely.
Okay. There were, of course, from my side of the aisle, the difference on the Democratic debate and the Republican debate, you don't really have the humor that you've got with Trump making the faces. That's just comedy gold. But second of all, the Republicans actually had difference of opinions, discussions, theories, ideas, plans to do something that not everybody agreed with, that had difference of opinions. All the Democrats did was argue about what each other's positions were on predetermined planks of the Democratic Party. They just argued the same stuff and or occasionally attacked Trump. That's basically it.
Okay.
There was nothing real substantial about, I've got a better plan than she does because of this. It's like, well, no, you supported this. Well, no, you're lying about this. Well, no, you said this. Well, no, I don't support that. Well, no, I used to support that. But no, you know, blah, 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 blah. This back and forth. And seriously, if you're Martin O'Malley, how do you step up there and say anything about guns and police when you were the mayor of Baltimore for 4 years or 8 years and you were governor of Maryland for 8 years? You had your hand in Baltimore for 15 years. And you're complaining that something needs to be done about the police.
Yeah.
Well, what the heck did you do in Maryland when you were there, Governor O'Malley? You didn't do anything. Seriously, I mean, that's as bad as Hillary trying to talk about accomplishments. To me, that's even worse. You can probably find a Hillary accomplishment if you try really hard. But him talking about guns and police in Baltimore, this is an absolute joke. And I don't know why we can even stand up on stage with a straight face, though he does have a very staid straight face, and do that. Dr. Ari?
You know, I think it's a challenge for all of these guys because they're trying to balance.
But he's got his hands. He was involved directly for 15 years.
Yes, and I think the issues have become much more prominent in the last 8 years or 10 years. These issues have come much more to the forefront in terms of recognizing that we do have problems with our screening system, that when we have a background check that's only required in gun stores, but you can go to gun shows and purchase these weapons without having to undergo a background check.
California has the stringest gun laws available, and how that stopped the San Bernardino shooters.
There's no question about it.
They got a guy to break the law for him. Wow. A terrorist broke the law. That just must be blown mind to a Democrat.
But we have to keep in mind that having a screening process is just that. It's a screening process. It's not an absolute wall. It's not a complete ban on handguns or weapons. You have to have a system in place that is going to allow people to exercise their Second Amendment rights, however you want to define that in this country. But you also have to recognize that
under the right to bear arms is what it means.
But any kind of screen is going to allow some things through. Rightly or wrongly, it will allow some things through. It's not perfect. But we have to do our best to try and keep weapons out of the hands of people who are a threat to the United States, whether they're on the terrorist watch list, whether they have a history of mental illness, whether they have a criminal record. We have to do our best to reduce the ease at which people can purchase these kinds of weapons.
But in reality, the shooter, even though he was concerned about his name being on a list, it wasn't. And he could have walked in and purchased those, and he would not have had a problem in California with the most stringent gun laws.
So
your answer is more laws, not better intelligence work.
I think to make sure we close loopholes in these laws. So as I say, at a gun show, people can't just go and buy.
Weapons. Let's look at it from the other perspective. If we had more guns out there, what if someone in that room had been armed and just taken that guy and his wife down? Boom, boom, less dead bodies.
You know, it's a myth. The good guy with the gun.
No, it's not a myth.
It's absolutely a myth.
Go look up the Portland, Oregon shooting where a couple guys went in to shoot up the Portland, Oregon Mall a couple of years ago and got one person dead because some guy with a gun took him down.
We can always find, and I think this is one of the things that I find challenging in politics, is that we can always find an exception to the rule, or we can always find the anomaly. But what we have to be careful about is taking that anomaly and projecting it onto the broader field of play, if you will. Okay. So, for example, when Gabby Giffords was shot at the shopping center in Tucson, Arizona, a couple of years ago, there was one gentleman who was at the store who was armed.
Yes.
He came running towards where the shots were, and he reported later on he didn't know what was going on, and he almost shot a innocent civilian nearby.
And because he had good gun skills, he didn't, and good training, that he didn't do that.
Well,
so no harm, no foul.
Not everybody has.
And if he
that
had
kind
been able
discretion.
To identify the shooter, he could have taken him down maybe before he shot Congresswoman Giffords or 12 other people.
I think by then it was probably too late, but I understand your point. But we need to be careful about that. We don't want to turn this into a shootout at the OK Corral, and there is no evidence in the research base that shows that having a more widely armed population is actually going to provide greater safety, or we would be the safest nation on earth. There's something like 300 million, excuse me, handguns in this country, and yet we keep seeing incident after incident. Why are we not safer?
Well, how many of these incidents, by the way, happen in gun-free zones?
That I'm not familiar with the statistics.
Well, I'm pretty sure California buildings are California government buildings,
right,
are gun-free zone. Schools are gun-free zones.
Yes.
So sounds like a lot of theaters are gun-free zones.
Yes.
So are you seeing a theme here? But
we're talking about open public spaces that anybody can walk into with a weapon, and that's
one
of the challenges we have to face.
Not everyone can. Only the bad guys do, because the good guys follow the law and the bad guys don't.
Well, that's not...
Hence the phrase bad guys or bad gals, not to be sexist.
But then every place where you've got a handful of people gathering, we would have to have heavily armed population, and that's something that I really prefer not to see in our society. People don't always have the best judgment. I work at a college. There was some discussion where we were looking at arming our governing board was looking at allowing professors and students to carry arms into the classroom. Yes, I understand the thumbs up.
That's a thumbs up from Righty Jim.
Absolutely. I would not want a room full of 18 to 25-year-olds armed to the teeth. They don't always have the best judgment, and neither do their professors for that matter.
Are you afraid when you start handing out Ds your life would be in danger?
I've had students in my classroom. My wife has had students in her classroom who we know suffer from mental illness. One of the challenges that we often see is that when somebody is having trouble in dealing with society, if they're dealing with some sort of mental illness, whether it's post-traumatic stress disorder or it really doesn't matter what it is, we'll often say, you know, you're having some difficulties in your life. Why don't you take some classes at college and see if you can kind of find yourself? Well, what often happens is the kind of pressure associated with working in a classroom, with mastering the material, is so stressful that it often produces provides a trigger to people. And we see things like we saw in Tucson, and I forget the gentleman's name, at Pima Community College in Tucson, who shot, I think it was 7 people. Jared, I think it was. Loughner.
Sounds right. Yes.
Jared Loughner, I think
sounds
it was.
Sounds possibly right.
Okay. So I just proved Frankenstein's theory of regeneration of dead brain cells. I came up with that name. But when Jared Loughner...
We won't ask why they died, but go ahead.
It's just life. They just fall off by themselves. So, but in any case, the serious point being that you had a student here that had obvious psychopathologies and was back in the classroom, and he really should not have been there, and he should not have access to guns.
So real quickly, to wrap up the Democratic debate, who do you think won the debate last night?
I think any time everybody is perceived as having done equally well, that's a victory for Hillary, because as long as people are not gaining
status
ground on her.
Helps Hillary.
Absolutely. And Hillary is at, 62-63%? Bernie is somewhere around 30%.
I've only really seen
27%.
I've seen mostly New Hampshire polls.
Okay.
Bernie's a couple points up, but I think nationally, yeah, I think
that's New Hampshire. It's next door to Vermont, and it's expected that there would be a halo effect that people would know or hear good things about Bernie from their neighbors who live in Vermont.
As far as I'm concerned, anybody who watched the debate is a loser for having to watch the debate. That's basically where I would.
I think anytime people have an opportunity to air the issues, even if they're not addressed as in-depth and as detailed as one would like, I think that's a win for the American people.
All right, Laguna Roundtable, KX93.5. We're going to take a short music break here. We will be back, a little Christmas theme music from Paul McCartney, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more show. Don't.
spirits up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.
Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas, and hopefully it will be a wonderful Christmas for everybody. Don't forget, as we said, five shopping days left. Laguna Roundtable, you're listening to KX93.5.
And shop locally, by the way. We have some great shops here in Laguna Beach. Support your local shopkeepers.
Thank you, Dr. Ari. Very good point. Last Sunday was the annual Winter Festival concert at the Irvine Bowl. Unfortunately, Santa Claus, I guess, was upset and was crying a little bit. We had a little bit of rain during the event, but understand it was a wonderful concert and it was a great event. And that's one of our fundraising events that we do throughout the year. And if you want to help someone you don't know what to give for a Christmas present to a local Lagoonan, take a look on our website to our new membership program. We've got four different levels of membership that help support the station, from Pearl Club, Energizer, Amplifier, and Charger. And they start as low as $5.39 a month. So that would be a great gift to give someone who's socially conscious in Laguna, because there's plenty of those people that want to support community-oriented radio. We got a great recommendation, by the way, from Mayor Steve Dickrell the other night at the KX935 Christmas party, correct?
Yeah, it was just wonderful. You know, I think the city certainly, I know the city certainly recognizes and appreciates having our station here in town, all of the public service events that we provide, as well as in case of emergency.
We had the fire last year up by the 73.
Yeah, KX90.
Road closures, because there's lots of road closures going on, accidents.
Right, exactly. I don't know about our other listeners out here locally, but I constantly get reminders when there's traffic delays and hazards here in the city. But it's wonderful to be such a vital part of our community. And we've partnered up with the Montage Resort, in fact. So that's a wonderful partnership as well.
Yes. They co-sponsored the event, the event at the Kenny Loggins concert.
They did, the Winter Music Festival.
And they hosted our annual Christmas party, too.
And I think the nice thing is that...
And big thanks to the Montage for that.
Montage recognizes what a valuable community asset our radio station is. So
absolutely.
That was really gratifying as well.
So KX935, KX935.com for more information on sponsorships for the station. This is Laguna Roundtable. You can reach us on social media, LagunaRoundtable@gmail.com. Righty Jim on Twitter, and Laguna RT or Laguna Roundtable on Facebook. Please post your questions, comments, thoughts there. We'd love to get input on people you'd like to see coming on the program. And real quickly, again, Dr. Ari, who do we have an interview, a couple of interviews coming up with in the next month or so?
We've got some great interviews lined up. I finally, and I apologize to my listeners because I've been promising this to you for so long now. I do have an interview with Anila Ali. Hopefully that will be aired next Sunday. We have Mayor Steve Dictorow, as Jim had mentioned a little bit earlier. He'll be here in the studio in early January.
Yep.
And I'm also working on getting scheduled, hopefully sometime in January, a former Navy SEAL, Mike Beenan. He works with veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's going to talk about the benefits of medical marijuana for our veterans, those who have served and given so much to our nation. So it's very exciting. I do want to just go back for 1 second, Jim, and mention that for those of you who were not able to make it to the concert here, the Kenny Loggins concert, the opening act was a local talent, David Allen Baker, phenomenal musician, just absolutely wonderful voice, just a delight to hear. He's playing at the Montage.
So, oh, very good. Okay.
If you get a chance, go over to the Montage one evening. I believe he's there later in the week. I know he's there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Probably if you check the Montage website, you'll be able to figure that out, too.
Exactly. Check the schedule. But he plays upstairs by the bar, just inside the lobby area. And it's just a delight to go and hear him and enjoy all the beautiful decorations at the Montage. So go over and take in a little bit of music for free that you would have had to pay for over at the concert.
Well, there you go. Very good. All right. We are, as we said, in the Christmas shopping season. 5 days left. Hopefully Brown Santa will deliver everything everybody needs for Christmas, or you'll get it locally from a local store in Laguna. But we're going to give out some Christmas presents to some dignitaries this year.
Oh, no.
President Barack Obama. Ari, what would you give President Barack Obama for Christmas?
Oh, man. You put me on the spot on that one. What would I give Barack Obama? I would give him something nice to read and it's a good, comfortable pair of slippers because he's going to deserve it. And at the end of this year, he's going to be finally his
well,
term
end of
will
next
be,
year. But.
Well, yes, but he will be a lame duck officially in early November.
If it quacks like one, sounds like one.
Well, you know, I think it surprised Republicans because he took a lot of leadership over the last 2 or 3 years that we normally don't see as a second term president.
Okay, so you give him slippers and a book?
I'd give him slippers
Which
and
book
a nice book.
Particularly, would you give him?
You know what? I would give him Mark Twain's Letters from the Earth. It's one of my personal favorites. Everybody's familiar with Mark Twain's children's stories of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, but the Letters from the Earth are so sarcastic and digging at the human experience. I just find it an absolute delight. So I think he would enjoy that after all of his time.
Well, I'm going to go very simple and basic. I'm going to give him a lump of coal because, you know what?
Okay.
It comes in basic black. He's basically a guy that hates the coal industry, and it would just something to remind him of the things out there that he has basically ruined as during his presidency, his efforts to kill the coal industry and basically make – and also as a thank you for making West Virginia a red state out of what used to be a very, very dark blue state 10 years ago.
Oh, it's been moving towards red for a very long time.
Well,
but
killing the coal industry was certainly the last –
but
the last nail in that coffin for the Democrats.
Yeah, but look at all the clean energy jobs that this president has driven in his initiative.
I know. Solyndra.
Yeah, never saw that one coming.
Wow, didn't set me up for that one, did you, right?
No, never saw that one coming.
All right, so for another one of our celebrities, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State Clinton, presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party for president 2016.
Why don't you start with this? What would your gift be to Hillary?
What would my gift be to Hillary? My gift to Hillary would be a fashion designer to get her out of those god-awful pantsuits that she wears. Get her something that's a little bit more fashion-forward. Not that I really care what Hillary wears that much.
You really don't want to see her in a dress, do you?
I don't really want to see her, period. But
okay,
You know, I just don't. I just can't. I mean, basically, I
thought she looked very nice last night. She looked very diplomatic, very professional.
Well, I know people that basically played a recording of nails scratching on a blackboard rather than watching the debate because it was less painful last night. So just to give you an idea. But that's what I would give Hillary, would be a fashion designer. What about yourself?
Well, you see, now this is one of the challenges that she faces in her efforts to become the first female president of the United States. We judge women differently than we judge men. We worry about what they're wearing rather than what they're saying. If you listen to the substance of what she says, hopefully people will be pleased. And, by all appearances at this point, she's got a darn good chance of being the next president of the United States.
So I'm sorry. So what did you give her? I thought you walked around that one.
I would give her the patience to deal with all of the issues and all of the mania out there. There's a lot of fear-mongering out there, concern about security here in the United States. I would give her the patience to make the good and wise decisions that I know she's capable of making.
All right.
How's that, Jim?
Wow. That's just too humanistic for
me. I know it's too early to start drinking.
Oh, actually, it's probably not, but Donald Trump, what would you give Mr. Trump?
Donald Trump has given us so much, so let's not kid ourselves. I think I would give Donald Trump discretion, something that he seems to lack in his life right now. The man claims to be worth $10 billion, and yet he can't seem to purchase discretionary skills. I think Donald Trump has been the greatest gift giver to ISIS, with his statements about Muslims in this country, his fear-mongering towards Syrians and Syrian refugees, Muslims in general. I think he has been the number one recruiting tool for ISIS and Islamic radicals. So if there were one thing I could give to Donald Trump, it would be discretionary skills.
You really think that a bunch of guys driving around in Toyota Highlanders in the middle of the Iraqi and or Syrian hinterlands are sitting in front of a television watching Donald Trump and saying, woo-hoo-hoo, thank you, Mr. Trump?
Oh, I think these guys, I know these guys are very technology and media savvy.
Really? You really think they get basic cable in Roca?
They're certainly streaming it on their smart devices. So
you think they have Wi-Fi in Roca?
And, they probably get better cell service than I get here in Laguna sometimes.
Well, that's a larger problem, though. That's thank you, Verizon, for that one.
Absolutely, but I have no doubt that they follow what our candidates are saying and they use it for propaganda purposes.
You think they're getting around the old fireplace in the in Raqqa and have a debate viewing party?
Probably,
for all of the ISIS commanders?
They probably do. It's probably $10 a head, and they're raising money for new Toyota Highlanders.
Thank you. Pretty sure they steal what they need there. All right. I got another one here I just threw on the list.
Okay.
Department of Homeland Security. What would you give the Department of Homeland Security?
A brain. They're like the scarecrow of our services.
Oh, wow. That was quick and good.
You know what? Actually, I don't mean to sound mean-spirited to Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it.
If they are 99.9% on the ball and 0.1%, they drop the ball, everybody is looking at Homeland Security and pointing fingers at them. Why did we fail?
Well, it's like one of those things. It's like being an air traffic controller. 99.99% isn't good enough.
Right. And 99.999% or more is probably the safety record that they have. But when you do have a failure, it's so catastrophic. Everybody is looking and pointing fingers, and I think that's one of the challenges that we have with the Department of Homeland Security. They have intervened in and prevented so many attacks here in the United States since 9/11. We don't hear about them. We shouldn't hear about them. We shouldn't have to worry about them. We should feel confident that our security services are doing a phenomenal job in maintaining safety here in the country, but as I say, when a lone wolf or something does occur in this this country, everybody is wondering where the failure in security was. Why didn't we hear this?
I'm going to go down your path. But I'm going to give each Homeland Security employee their own Syrian immigrant refugee family to take home for Christmas. If they think that their vetting has been that complete and that thorough, you get to take one home to you, and you can and they can live with you for the next 30 days.
Fair enough. But let's keep in mind, Donald Trump wins the election in 2016, he has a return policy on those gifts.
Well, maybe that would be the best thing for the Homeland Security. Those that haven't been killed by him can send them back.
Or they'll just stay here and be our next generation of engineers and leaders in this country.
And fundamental Islamic terrorists. All right. I think we've exhausted all of our Christmas gifts. For anybody else?
I know I'm exhausted, Jim.
Thank you. Anybody else you want to give a Christmas gift to?
Let's see.
How about we give a big thank you to Tyler for having another year under our belts and allowing us to be here?
I think that's a great idea. Let's give a shout out to Tyler Russell, the station manager here at KX93.5. He's done a terrific job in helping to build our station and to build community awareness and appreciation for what we do here. So he's been a terrific gift for the entire community of Laguna Beach.
Yep, and thank you, Tyler, for letting us do this program. We do appreciate it. And that pretty much is going to wrap up our Christmas show. We'll be back January 10th. We'll be playing a couple of shows in between. But everybody, hope you have a great and wonderful Christmas to you and all. Safe travels for all of you out there.
And go to 93.5 and listen to our podcast when you get a chance.
Absolutely. KX935.com, Laguna Roundtable. We are finishing up with a little Merry Christmas Baby by Mr. Bruce Springsteen, because what is more Christmassy than Bruce Springsteen?
Yes, and I'm sorry, Jim. Before we go, I just want to extend one wish, one gift to the listeners out there. Very simply, peace on earth and goodwill towards all.
I will second that. Thank you very much. Everybody, have a good rest of 2015 and a good start of 2016.
They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. But instead, it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, and the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell. Their eyes full of tinsel fire. They sold me a dream of Christmas. They sold me a silent night. They told me a fairy story, till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas, and I looked to the sky with excited eyes. When I woke with a yawn in the first light of dawn, and I saw him through his disguise. Brave New Year. All anguish, pain, and sadness, leave your heart and let your road be clear. They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Hallelujah.